The National Writers Series of Traverse City hit a really big milestone last week. It hosted its 100th author event. That's quite a mark to hit for something that started in June of 2009. The list of authors that have made their way to Traverse City is impressive. Here with us, Doug Stanton. He's an author and founder of the National Writers Series, and Ann Stanton, the executive director of the National Writers Series and co-director of the Front Street Writers. Welcome.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Thank you, Cynthia.
Did you always have that idea that you wanted to draw all kinds of writers to Traverse City, going beyond writers who called Michigan home?
Right. So Traverse City's become really one of the top five book tour stops in the country for authors coming out of New York or Los Angeles. And it's just really been an amazing experience. And I think part of that is our audiences keep showing up because they never know what to expect. So we've had Janet Ivanovich, Diana Gabaldon, and George Packer from The New Yorker kind of all in the same season. And my ethos growing up in Traverse City as a young kid here trying to make it as a writer was I want everyone on Main Street to have a book in their hand and be talking about writing. That makes us a richer community.
And I know now there's the reputation when you look at the list on your website of look who we've had. Now people get it. But was it first a bit of a heavy lift to get some of these internationally known writers to say, okay, I'll come to Traverse City?
You know, it wasn't that hard because we started with basically Doug's writer friends who happened to be really famous. And so we could say right away to the publicist, look, we've had really great people here and big audiences, sold a lot of books, so keep them coming. And then they believed us.
And then it becomes a snowball, right? Just getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah, it's been really great.
I want to talk about Elmore Leonard because he really started it for the National Writers Series. You had Elmore Leonard and his son, Peter Leonard. How did you want to make that conversation different from the countless author interviews that someone like Elmore Leonard had done?
Well, you know, I was a contributing editor at Esquire for quite a while, and I worked out of Traverse City traveling around the world, and I always tried to have these very intimate conversations with famous actors. And I think it always worked for me in that I treated them like someone that I already knew, and I was always interested in how I was like them or they were like us, as opposed to how they were a celebrity. So getting on stage with the writer series, it's the same idea. It's kind of like that conversation you have at night. I always imagine a train when you're sitting in a darkened car and you hear this story unfolding behind you in the seat behind you, and you're drawn in immediately just by the simple humanity of it, and you don't know what's going to happen next. And that's what we try to do on stage. So with Elmore, well, in this case, what we just wrote is his son, Peter, who is writing and is a successful novelist in his own right. They're talking as father and son. It was a hysterically funny evening. I actually interviewed Elmore again in Traverse City. And I had a second crack at it, and he was one of a kind, that's for sure.
For sure. And as you put the schedule together, is there any kind of master plan in extending invitations to writers, or is it just, oh, look who's available? Yes, let's get this person here.
I try to get a nice mix, you know, somebody funny, literaries, a thriller for Doug, always. That's his favorite. I'm kind of an issue person. I'm a former reporter. So a nice nonfiction book. So yeah, kind of something that appeals to everyone is my philosophy.
Well, you certainly have quite a powerful list of writers who've been there. Tom Brokaw sat down with you in 2010 and was reflecting on the nation during Vietnam. Let's take a quick listen.
Imagine if you're a Marine who's gone through World War II. You dropped out of school in Detroit at the age of 17 and joined the Marine Corps. And then you went to Iwo Jima, and you went to Peleliu, and you went to Okinawa, and you came home. And you married the girl down the street, and you went to work for the Ford Motor Company on the line. And you caught the good wave. You got the good benefits, the good wages. Mm-hmm. You got the good pension program. And by the mid-1950s, you bought a house. That was unheard of in your family. And you had two children, a boy and a girl. And they had more things than you ever could have imagined mm-hmm. as a youngster. And before too long, you bought a little fishing cabin in the Upper Peninsula somewhere. And you got a boat to go with it. And you'd spend your weekends coming up here. And then one day in 1967, you come home for supper, as we called it. And it's 5:30, and it's time to watch Walter Cronkite or Chet Huntley and David Brinkley. Still have a crew cut. Put your lunchbox down in the kitchen, sit down at the kitchen table, and you look up, and your daughter is sitting there with hair on her legs because it's not, it's, if you want to be liberated, you don't have to shave your legs anymore. She's not wearing a brassiere or any other undergarments. And she's got a boyfriend who's wearing his sunglasses inside. He seems not to have shampooed or cut his hair in the last 4 years. And his name is Zeke. And he plays in a heavy metal band. And she said, "Daddy, Zeke and I are going to move in together, but don't worry about it. I'm on the pill." Now he looks to his son, who's sitting across the table, for some help. And his son is sitting there with an American flag with a swastika over it, with America spelled with a K. And he said, "Dad, I'm not going to fight no war in Vietnam. I'm headed for Canada. I'm going to burn my draft card." This old Marine turns around to his wife, looking for some kind of assistance. She's got her hands on her hips behind him, and she says, "Hey, big guy, how come I'm the only one who does the dishes around here?" That's pretty much a portrait of what was going on in a lot of households in America. Now, having said that, they all got through it together somehow.
Right.
They were able to find their way back together as families, and they all learned from one another. And that's part of the resilient strength of this country, I believe.
Boy, that is a magical moment. You know, you can feel the audience responding. You can feel him just expounding. And you must see this so often. I mean, especially today, you think about where we've gone, where we tend to be a nation tapping on their iPhones and, you know, being in our silos. The idea of getting a group of people together for a conversation, people are hungry for that, aren't they?
Well, just listening to that, Cynthia, I don't often listen to the shows afterwards. And I'm so grateful to Tom Brokaw for writing what he's written and for saying those things he just said. And I'm writing a book about Vietnam right now, and it's just kind of giving me about three different things I should cover in my own book. But this is what we do on stage. It kind of tries to bring history alive, bring current events alive. Thank you for playing that clip. It was really fun to listen to.
Tell us about the initiatives that you've been doing through Raising Writers.
You know, it was actually Doug who came up with our first initiative, which is called Front Street Writers. Doug, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Front Street Writers was inspired by my own experience growing up in town where I didn't have the instruction I needed. And I did find it at a wonderful place called Interlochen Arts Academy and their own creative writing program. Believe it or not, when I was 14, I was a lost geek without direction. I became a geek with direction. The second was a lot more fun. But because of family circumstances, I couldn't continue. So I went back and got a job locally and ended up going back there. But that experience really taught me a lot. Number one, to work and try to save. And two, that people reached down and helped me when I was really needing it. And so when Horse Soldiers became successful, we decided to start our own creative writing program modeled on a no kidding MFA kind of style workshop. And we're doing it. And we've hired a writer in residence from San Diego. We have another publishing poet, Teresa Scollin, who's teaching. And it's for free. It's for credit. And these main stage authors, for instance, Tom Brokaw went over to the Traverse City West High School and addressed the entire auditorium of high school students who are interested in lots of things. Typically, the students gather to hear because they want to talk about writing. But I was just so grateful to Tom for doing that. And Lee Child came by the workshop and talked about the Jack Reacher series. We've had all these authors come through. It's not happening anywhere else in the U.S., and it's only because Traverse City is supporting us. What I want to say to everyone listening is you can do this in your own hometown. But it takes a lot of work, and Anna's giving me a look. But you could, if you had the cultural capital, you can marry it with the public infrastructure, and we could all make this a greater experience for our children and for ourselves.
So that's a key thing, is we teamed up with the public school district. And so it was a lot of synergy of, you know, the public school support, we bringing in great writers, finding the money for the writer in residence. It's a lot of work. You don't take this on lightly. And some of the other things, we've got this huge battle of the books that's really fun. We have a scholarship program for writers. We had a poetry workshop for Traverse Heights, where Doug actually went to school when he was a kid.
So you're planting the seeds. You want to get that next generation of writers in. What a wonderful environment for them, knowing that this resource is coming to their town all the time, that there's always authors coming in and out.
Right. So the dream, Cynthia, is in 5 to 7 years, you'll have on one of our former Front Street Writer students with their first novel.
Yes.
And they'll be a guest on Stateside. That will be a happy day.
Done deal. That is a done deal. What other things do you want to accomplish in the future? And Anne, I know as executive director, you know, what do you see when you look down the road with where you want to take this?
Well, what we've been talking about is taking these shows and putting them on national public radio so that everybody can hear them. They're really, really good. We don't know exactly how we're going to accomplish that, but that's the big dream right now.
What do you want, each of you, this legacy to be? When you think of what you've done with the National Writers Series in Traverse City and where you want it to go, what do you want this legacy to be?
You just heard it in the Brokaw clip, because when I was writing In Harm's Way, my first book about World War II, Tom Brokaw read that manuscript on an airplane unsolicited by me and wrote me this note, which I got in our snowy home in rural Michigan, and it changed my life. And he didn't have to do that. And he didn't have to do a lot of things he's done. And a lot of writers are like that as well. The way I grew up listening to my own father talk about, you always have enough to give somebody something else. And aside from all the fun we get to have writing books and traveling, we live here and we have roots here. And I think if much has been given, we have to give back. And so the legacy would be that we've created this thing, and in 10 years, the next generation takes it over. And they learn how to run it, and they learn how to promote storytelling in whatever fashion that's really speaking to them at that time.
Ann Stanton, you get the final word.
Well, you know, I come from more of a reporter, change the world viewpoint, and we bring the brightest people into Traverse City to talk about really big issues. And during this conversation, people think, they laugh, but they do come away transformed by the conversation. You think about the world in a much bigger way, big ideas. And that's what I really love about this whole series.
Doug Stanton, Ann Stanton, congratulations on your 100th author event. Many more to come. And you can get information on their upcoming events by just going to nationalwritersseries.org. Thank you for sharing your vision with us and being with us on Stateside. It was great to have you with us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.